Welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show from the Labatt Blue Studio. Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Bleed blue and white, drink blue and light. And don't forget to try the new Labatt Blue Light Seltzer Variety Pack, available at retailers throughout Pennsylvania.
And welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. I'm Jim Galante and with Thomas Frank Carr, and it's quarter number three. You know what that means, T. Frank?
It's time to ask T. Frank.
It definitely is. This is where we take the listener questions, and they can send them in. Get the app. There's an Ask T. Frank button. You can send in your questions about Penn State football, recruiting, or questions about life in general. You could ask T. Frank about yoga. We learned last week he's an expert in that area.
Yeah, expert for sure. None of my life advice, I think, as I've said before, has really jived with the audience. But hopefully I can be that guy, that thing in your life that maybe just expands your horizons a little bit. I don't always need to hit center mass when it comes to, like, things you want to hear. Hopefully I'm the guy that's prying the door open a little bit so you can see a little bit more around you. Because that's what I try to do to myself. I try to challenge and open up new things every day.
He doesn't give you what you want to hear. He gives you what you need to hear.
Yeah. Yes.
And then if your desire is to hear what you want to hear, listen to Jim talk about his sitting in your Barca lounger eating Cheetos.
There you go.
You come to me for that kind of advice. All right, let's get to the questions, T. Frank. Let's start with Andrew from Arlington, who says, "Hey, T. Frank, we all know that Joey Porter had too many pass interference calls against him last season. Mm-hmm. Is this just a random occurrence or a flaw in his coverage? And if so, do you consider it an easily correctable issue?"
Yeah, I do. I think he's going to be great next year. And another one of the signs of positive life for Penn State is I think they're going to have a really good coverage unit on defense again next year. And that's a great baseline to start for your defense. I think finding, kind of like the offensive line, finding four or five guys in the secondary to play well together is really hard to do. And that can set you up to just baseline, you're going to have a good defense, maybe great if you can put it all together. So that's, you know, and he's a big part of that. He is a physical, long corner. In college, you get away with more. But at a certain point, they'll start calling pass interference. And he's a little bit grabby. But he plays with physicality. So it's just your interpretation of that. Some officials are more sensitive to that than others. And as he said, and as James Franklin said last year, he began to develop a reputation as a guy that was very handsy, and then they started paying attention to it. That's just, that happens sometimes. But I think it's still an asset. I don't think that it's so terrible that you have to be down on Joey Porter Jr., which a lot of people were by the end of the season. Also, I don't think a lot of those were great. Like, I've talked to Nate Bauer, my coworker, a bunch of times about this, and we kind of agree that a lot of those were kind of ticky-tack calls that you call on a guy that you know is grabby, so you call it because it's a thing that you just, air quotes, know as an official, going back to the reputation thing. But he was going toe-to-toe with Garrett Wilson and Chris Olave last year. Were there a couple holding penalties there? There were one or two, but against two of the best receivers in America, okay. Yeah, if that stops the touchdown, okay. You know, from the way he plays, I like Joey Porter Jr. I think they need more guys like him that have that wingspan, that size, that physicality. And I'll sign up for another year of Joey Porter Jr. You know, and I wonder, I think everyone's pegging Zaki Wheatley to go to safety. If Penn State wants more physical long corners, I think he can, I'd be willing to look at that as well as an addition and an evolution of the Penn State defense. And it starts with the guy that has the length, wingspan, speed, and everything else of Joey Porter Jr. I don't think it has to be this terrible thing, this black mark and scarlet letter that it was last year. Happened in a couple games, but how did they do, by the way, in the bowl game when Arkansas wanted to throw the football? Did they find any yardage downfield? No, they didn't.
I think the concern is, you know, were the penalties, sometimes it's just you're beat, so you grab the guy. Sometimes it's
no, but I don't think it was that. So to your point, it was not he was beat and he grabbed. What it was he was in phase. So he is, if you're the defensive back and you're in man coverage, You don't need to be running the route for the guy. You need to be in position to make a play on the ball. And with his 36-inch arms, he just needs to be a step in the guy's hip pocket. Trail technique is what it's called. And he was there. It's just when the ball got there, he was a little grabby. And you can clean that up. And all he has to do is it's the position of where he puts his hand on the receiver, and it's a position of how he puts his hand on the receiver. The one against Michigan State, it was a fine position to put his hands on the receiver, but there was a hand warmer, and he grabbed the hand warmer instead of just having his hand on the low back of the receiver, which is what he was trying to do. That's proper technique. He just needs to wrap that big arm around the front and bat the ball away. And he's 90% of the way there. And that's the hard part. Now he's got to master the catch point. And that's the part he's been working on for 2 years. It's a hard thing to learn. So he's learning it.
I don't think there's any doubt about the physical tools that he has. And as you pointed out, it wasn't him getting beat that was causing these penalties. I'll tell you what, T. Frank, let's stick with the defensive backfield and go with Jason from New Jersey, who says, I thought Daquan Hardy did a very good job with his coverage in the slot. Does this get him a promotion to starting cornerback, or do you keep him where he is and has been successful?
So the only thing holding him back is his size and his run defense. I was taking a look at the numbers at the end of the season. He was on the field for less than 53 run snaps. So Penn State played Curtis Jacobs until it was an obvious passing situation as that 11th defender. You've got Kalen King. He's a good football player. Daquan Hardy has the potential to be an elite slot defender. But the only thing keeping him off the football field is he's 5'9", 180, and he kind of gets run over at times in run defense. And they want to play three linebackers anyway. That's what they want to do. Now, next season, this is what we got to figure out from Manny Diaz's perspective and from their talent perspective. Do they need to shift what they do in that Sam linebacker, slot corner, third safety position? Because that is kind of the amoeba part of every defense. He was in there for coverage plays. If he can be better at the run, in run defense, if he can get stronger and play bigger, he doesn't need to get bigger. He needs to play bigger. And that starts in practice. Then he can see more snaps. And then he's a starting player either way. Your slot corner should be seen as a co-starter on every defense. And he performed not just admirably, but exceptionally last season. That's what I mean. When you have four or five guys in the secondary, and he's great. Kalen King showed great promise. Joey Porter Jr. played really well last year. You've got J.R. Brown coming back, and Jalen Reed looked good as a freshman. Now, there's going to be some rough parts. You don't have Jaquan Brisker back there as your fix-it guy. But you've got a lot of good talent that produced last season, even in the youth player position. It's just going to be about the consistency of those young guys when they get into the starting lineup. But the talent and the early production is there. They just got to make sure that they keep their progression arc going.
I really liked what Daquan Hardy did. I would prefer they keep him there at what he does very well instead of putting him somewhere where we don't know for sure we're going to see that caliber of play. So, as you mentioned, with Kalen King available, that sounds like they're still going to have a pretty good defensive backfield.
And Johnny Dixon.
That's true. And Johnny Dixon. So it seems like they're set up for success in the defensive backfield. Let's go to Larry in Bellefonte. Larry says, like everyone, I'm frustrated with the offensive line, T. Frank. Are you seeing any differences in the type of linemen that Troutwine is bringing in, and does that create any hope for us?
Does he? He must watch my show. Because, yes, I've talked about this repeatedly when I do my film reviews of the guys that Penn State has signed. Drew Shelton, their top tackle prospect, is 6'4", 275. So that one kind of in line with long arms, developmental prospect. But Malik McNeil, 6'8", super long arms, big physical football player. Some of the guys they have for the class of 23 in Alex Birchmeyer, super physical football player, super physical for a sophomore, getting bigger, stronger, road grader type mentality. And then the other guy that they, Joshua Miller, that they recruited, plays right tackle. He's going to kick inside and be a guard at the next level. He's already 320 pounds. and is a good 320. I think he can still refine that because he's young, but he's physical, long arms, doesn't have the speed to be the outside player. But you see that they're not going for the guys that need to put on 30 pounds. They are going for guys that have the run blocking ability and the dimensions to do it. And it's on Phil Troutwine to then make up for any lack of athleticism in pass protection by teaching them the proper technique and the proper ways to make up for that, as he did in his career, as James Franklin has pointed out.
So the Phil Troutwine lineman is big, strong, physical, right?
Nasty. Even Drew Shelton is a nasty kid. He plays mean.
We like nasty in our offensive linemen. All right, let's see. Let's go to Brad in Raleigh, North Carolina. We're big in North Carolina, T-Frank. Anyway, Brad says, I feel like the tight ends were underutilized last year. Why do you think that was the case? Was it that they were unable to get open? Clifford didn't look for them? Or was this just plain the design of Mike Yurcich's offense?
I'm going to quote James Franklin and say, it's all of it. It's never just one thing. And I'm going to save most of our conversation about the tight ends because we're going to talk about it next week. But to me, the biggest thing about this group is that it's a group. It's that there's three of them. And when you have three players, you don't lump them in statistically. You look at them individually, but you lump your evaluation of them together. There is no standout guy as far as a Freiermuth or a Gesicki to lead the group and be your sole focus of, I know he's good at X, Y, and Z. One guy is good at one thing. One guy struggled at the other thing. One guy struggled at one thing. The other guy was great at that. So you don't look at all of those peaks and valleys of the individuals. You look at the group and you make a decision. But yes, I think there were a bunch of other factors that you hinted at in your question that limited the production of the group overall. But the last thing I'll say is if you add up all their totals of receiving yards and production, they were third on the team as a unit behind the top two of Washington and Dotson. So as a group, they performed statistically fine, but they were not exceptional in any way. It was an average sort of fine.
I don't know if this is just a case when the team's winning, everyone looks better, and of course the numbers are better. But
sure.
It seemed like early on, you know, like the big win against Auburn, there were some big plays that came from the tight ends, and my memory tells me we didn't see as much of that down the stretch.
Yes, so some of that was schemed up, and some of that was, with formation and hurry up and tempo and a couple of tricks by the offensive coordinator. Late in the season, I saw Theo Johnson running good routes and getting open down the seam. Not always targeted, not always getting the connection with the quarterback, but there were some legitimately good routes that he ran in the second half of the season. And that goes back to Brenton Strange, where they kind of flipped roles. He became the blocking tight end, Theo Johnson was the receiver, so he didn't get as many opportunities to make up for it late in the season. So that, I think, is that. Let's go with Brad, by the way, as our winner. I like that question about the tight end.
You anticipated my question. All right, that is it for quarter number three. Stick around, quarter number four, we're going to talk some recruiting. Stay tuned.
This is where the temperatures are unkind. This is where water freezes in the blink of an eye. This is where the wind bites harder than a mid-ice cross check. This is where the beer is always on ice. This is Labatt Hockey. Played the way Mother Nature intended. Labatt Blue is proud to support pond hockey and all the hardy souls that like to play it cool. This is Labatt Hockey.
Beer, Labatt USA, Buffalo, New York.